disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
If I seem a little bit stiff here today, man, I got a stiff neck. I got a stiff neck. And the only thing I can do, I theorize with my wife. I'm going to turn sideways a minute. You ever get on a plane? You get on a plane? If you think about it, when you're sitting on a plane there, can you see me sideways there? You don't sit up straight. You tend to sit humped over. You know, you're getting humped over. And I think that's what happened to me. So my neck's stiff today as I spin around here in my multi-million dollar studio. So bear with me if I look a little bit stodgy here today. You know, Adam, a couple things. Stiff neck, thank you. You stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. Thanks. Thanks for the pat on the back there, Spencer. I am stiff necked sometimes. I'm sore necked today. So listen, tomorrow, I'll say this right up front. And I told him as well, David Arthur is going to join us tomorrow. Some of you know David Arthur, know the history we had with David Arthur, transgender, great testimony, transgender. Then he fell back. He fell back into sin. In fact, kind of went on the other side and said, no, I was born this way and we're perfectly and wonderfully made in the image of God, yada, yada. He rode that horse for quite a while and I quit having anything to do with him. And then I saw him a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, and he's repenting. I said, listen, Alexander the Coppersmith did us great harm, dude. You did us great harm. And he knows he did, yada, yada, yada. But he is an expert on the homosexual agenda. Agenda. On what they're doing, grooming our children. Show us how, so we can recognize what's going on. So David's going to join us tomorrow to talk about that. You might want to tell some of your friends that they want to tune in. And I asked him the question, what is that, Dave? What is homosexuality? Is it demonic? Is it, what is it? What is it? You know, he said, he couldn't really give an answer. What would possibly cause a man to want to have sex with a man? What? Nobody would choose that, would they? Well, I mean, would you choose that? So, again, a lot of confusion. But anyway, just want you to know up front, we're going to do that tomorrow. And then this almost, I get an amen. I get a couple of people who texted me, emailed me overnight, said, Coach, please continue what you did yesterday. And you guys know this. I don't do that. Each show's a new show. Each one's a new show. You know, I thought yesterday was pretty good. Right? It was really, really pretty good about the Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. And that just isn't true. Just isn't true. And we all know this, don't we? That the Lord would just let the words of our lips, meditation, and heart be pleasing in your son, Jesus' name. Biggest Bible verse wins, right? Biggest Bible verse wins. Would anybody out there disagree with me? That you can almost make the Bible say whatever you want it to say. Would anybody agree with, huh? If you take a scripture out of context, can I give you one? God is love. Well, that's true. But that ain't the end all. God is love. Okay. Does God hate? Well, yeah, that's in there too, but God is love, right? So here's one I'm trying to get at. We are seeing in America, do you guys know that today, we'll see what happens. They're releasing the Kennedy files, the JFK files. Now, will they give us the truth? Because all of us, every one of you watching me right now, have some type of theory on what happened in Dallas November 22nd, 1963. We all lived that, right? Now we've seen however many years that's been, 50-some years of it, and nobody really knows what happened there other than stories and personal testimonies. And yeah, but most of the people, really, most of the people who were alive during the Kennedy assassination, they're gone. They're dead and they're gone. Hang on. My wife said to me last night, honey, you yell a lot on the show. But I'm not mad. It's enthusiasm, all right? It's energy, enthusiasm. Please take it that way. Please take it that way. So imagine you today, let's say you are 20 years old, okay? And you're in college. And all of a sudden they release the Kennedy files. And you start reading the Kennedy files. And you're going to say, geez, isn't anything what they told me. It isn't anything like what they told me, right? So one of the reasons they've hidden the Kennedy files is why? They had hoped those of us who were alive at that time die off, right? So we can't do what Psalm 78 says, teach it to this generation, which will teach it to the next generation, which teaches it to the next generation. So then we become what? We become prisoners. Thank you, Spencer. Boy, he's all over it. Then we become prisoners of propaganda, right? Here, we talked about this yesterday. I will open my mouth in a parable, I utter dark sayings of old, which we've heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We're not going to hide it from our children. We're going to show the next generation praise of the Lord and strength. And we establish in just a testimony of Jacob, point of law in Israel, and he commanded us, teach it to your kids. You'll teach it to their kids. Teach it that the generation to come may know them. Even the children which shall be born should arise and declare to their children. So it's unbelievable. Let me show you this, Ray LeBlanc. Are you ready for this one, folks? Now, look, Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. I say, bunk! That's what I say. Because I ask, first of all, which Bible? Which Bible? Which Bible? So this amazing thing happened, Spencer. I didn't even see it. Let me, which one is it? Where is it? Oh, Lord, which one is it? Number 9. No, not number 9. Not number, look at Bible, nope. Is that it? I can't believe I don't have this thing in order. Is that it? Sorry. No. Hey, Spence, I know what it is. Hey, Spence, pull up for me. Where is it? Where? Okay. I think it's not. No, that's not it. Or is it? Say, Coach, what are you doing? I'm trying to find out-of-context examples. Out-of-context examples. So hey, do this for me, Spence. Type in... I'll find it as we go on here, okay? I'll find it as we go. So here's what I want the focus of us, of the show today. Focus of the show, again, part of it. Have they lied to us? Eyewitness account. Hey, Spencer, pull up. I thought I had it here. Maybe, God, I wish I, where is it, Lord? Where is it? Pull up, Spencer, just go to Bible Gateway. I'm trying to find it here. Would that be it? You don't have to do it, Spencer. I think I just found it. It's scrolling here a minute. Go, Spencer, where it says, yes, thank you, Lord. Bible translations. Is that what it says, Spencer? Number 5? No, that's not it. I just pulled it up. I don't know which one it is. I'm sorry, folks. Feeling like a rookie here today. Pull it. It says Job 9:24. Does it say that? Yes. Thank you, Spencer. Just pull what you just had there. Okay, folks. Are you ready? Are you wondering why we're so... No. Go back to that other page. Look at this, folks. Same verse. Job 9:24. The earth is given to the hand of the wicked, and he covereth the faces of the judges thereof. If not, who and where is he? These are all different Bible interpretations of the same scripture. You understand this, friends? Spencer, just scroll down a little bit. Look at all these different biblical translations of the same scripture. Ooh, stop right there. CEV. And who else but God blindfolds the judges, then lets the wicked take over the earth? Friends, that sounds great, but that's not what the King James says. That's not what the King, huh? The earth is given over into the hand of the wicked, He covereth the faces of its judges. If not, who then is it? That's not what that says. That's not what the King James says. A wicked man, these are all interpretations of the same verse. A wicked man, it's easy, I don't even know what that is. A wicked man may have power to rule a nation, then God stops the judges from being fair. It must be God who does that. Who else could it be? When a land is handed over to a wicked man, God blinds the eyes of its judges. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covers the faces of its judges. So what we have is a continuing reinterpretation of a scripture in the King James. What's the King James say, Spence? What does King James say? So when you go to church with all your friends, and every one of them got a different interpretation of the Bible, right? Come on. That's why I hate Bible studies, because everybody brings 12 different interpretations of it. Now, you know that if you come here regularly, sometimes I'll use the Message Bible, and I'll use it other, because puts it in a different perspective. But how the heck? Can I hit you in the mouth with one? King James. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. Friends, you could almost build a theology on that right there, couldn't you? Huh? And say, well, you know, the wicked, they own the earth. Well, yeah, you could. I guess you could translate it that way. That isn't what it says, though. He says the earth is given into the hand of the wicked, and he covereth the faces of the judges thereof. All right, meaning what? When we turn away from the truth, we lose justice. That would be my interpretation of it. You turn away from the truth, you know the lawfare that's going on in America right now, right? Judges, circuit judges are overriding the president of the United States. Nick, what are you talking about, Willis? So that's where I want to go with you. So look at this on your screen right now. I'm not real good at math. Ray, I'm going to give you the job. Count how many there are. Interpretations on this page of the same scripture. Same one. So when you tell somebody, when somebody says to you, well, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it, they're lying to you. They're lying to you. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covers the faces of its judges. If it is not he then is. Did you ever hear of the NOG? The earth is handed over to the wicked. He covers the faces. How about this one? Are you ready? Ready for this one? Judge not, lest ye be judged. Woo-wee! How many different interpretations could we find of that one, right? Did you count them, Ray? I don't care if you did. But there's a bunch of them there, aren't there? You get what I'm saying? So what has happened is when you take things out of context, context changes everything. Changes everything out of context. I've had it happen here on this show. When I begin to question, are you ready? If I begin to question on this show who the Jews are, oh boy. If I have to happen to mention something, I didn't know what it is. Next thing you know, I'm racist. I'm anti-woman. All that crap, right? And then you can go to the Bible and probably find out, judge not. Look at this. Judge not. How many are there of that one, Spencer? Bunch of them, right? Okay, it's all right. You guys, Ray, you guys understand where I'm going with this? Y'all with me?
Amen. Yep, keep it going.
So when people say to you, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles. That is bunk, folks. That is bunk. Now let me do this one, because I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. I just said it to my wife. So in the Bible, Randy, you'll like this one. In the Bible, it says this, and no, I'm not going to camp on this. I'm using it as an example. Well, this is another example. God is love. I already said that. Can you guys think of, I'm not going to make you do it. Can you think of just some Christian phrases taken out of the Bible that people repeat, and they've just taken it out of context and they say it over? How about this one, Ray? Judge not. Right? Come on. Huh? There it is right there. Judge not, that you be not judged. Well, wouldn't it be a good idea if we kept it in context? Judge not. Friends, what percentage of Christian America do you think believe we shouldn't judge? What? Anybody have an idea? What percentage of Christian America would believe that we shouldn't judge? Why? Because they show you Matthew 7:1.
Yeah, probably most judge Christians.
Huh? Right? Judge not, that you might be judged. Well, hang on, dude. For with what judgment you judge, you're going to be judged. You got to read the next sentence. And with what measure you meet, it's going to be measured to you again. And dude, don't you be talking about the mote in your brother's eye when you got one in yours. It's talking about hypocritical judgment, friends. Of course we're supposed. He who is spiritual judges all things. Now, hang on. Hey, come on. Isn't that contradictory? When the Bible says, he that is spiritual judges all things. And we turn to Matthew 7, it says, judge not. Well, it has to do with context. Context, meaning the situation that I set it in. So I get accused here all the time of being anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, racist. Why? Because they just hear what they want to hear. They just hear what they want to hear. Take the whole thing out of context, which, by the way, they tried to do that to me during January 6th. Somebody out there put together, went on my webpage here and took clips of what I'd said and put it together to make me look like I believe something. Well, I didn't believe that. But then it goes viral, and then boom, then you're hooked. Anybody remember when they said Donald Trump? Anybody remember when he said that there were Nazis here and the Nazis were good people? You guys remember that? Do you remember that at all? And it was all part of a larger dialogue, and they just took it out of context and made Donald Trump a racist, made him a Nazi, right? And repeated over and over and over and over and over and over. So hang on, Dave. I see you got your hand up. I got some really good stuff, folks. I promise you I do. And I'm gonna ask you this one. Oh, do I have to, Lord? Okay. Spencer, Google for me if you can find this for me. This generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. It's Matthew 7. Matthew what?
I believe it's 7, but it could be 24.
Get it right. Here we are, Matthew 24:34 it says. Huh? Okay. I'm just using it as an example. Don't get mad at me. Send a letter to your pastor. Don't send it to me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Hey, Ray, I don't know why I see Ray on my screen. That's why I keep saying you, Ray. So let me ask you something. If I'm talking about the World War II generation, would I call that this generation, or would I call it that generation? You with me? This and that, that's two different things. So Jesus Christ is standing before his disciples, and he says, this generation shall not pass away till all these things fulfilled. But now they're telling us that we're the generation. We're the generation, they're telling us, right? When it says this generation, wouldn't that be the people that he's speaking to right then? If I said right here, hey, this group of people who are listening to this, would I be talking about a group of people 3 weeks from now? Or would I be talking about this one? Because the difference between this generation and that generation, this generation and that generation. Could it be, I'm just guessing, what if the scripture said this? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. In other words, the generation that sees this, that's right. Or is he talking to literally this generation sitting in front of me? So the interpretation of that scripture means everything. Dale, I'll see your hands about to break. Come on in a second.
Yes, indeed, Coach, right? Text taken out of context is a pretext. The pretext, that is the lie. Spence put up Noel Webster's 1828 definition of pretext, Coach, and watch what happens when you apply this to Matthew chapter 7. It is crazy. This is what they do, because a pretext, what is a pretext? That's a key thing.
Pretext is a pretense, a false appearance, ostensible reason or motive assigned or assumed as a color or cover for the real reason or motive.
Boom, coach. This is their motives behind taking Matthew chapter 7:1 out of context, right? Is because this is what they desire to make that scripture say. Because they take the whole context is that whole Matthew chapter 7. Because, right, we're not supposed to judge. And then Jesus, if you read a little bit further, coach, what does he do? He calls them dogs and he calls them pigs. Isn't that judging? Isn't that calling them names?
So Dale, I was thinking about this. Are you guys, y'all ready? Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. Heaped up, pressed down, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Does say that, doesn't it? Give and it shall be given unto you. It's the law of sowing and reaping. That all makes sense. But many pastors will say, bring all the tithe into the storehouse. That the only way you're going to get blessed is if you, yeah, give, but give here. Got to give here. You, somebody say amen. So I'm talking to everything. Because words have meaning, and text and pretext and context is everything. When you take the Bible, it'd be like, come on now. Take it, because it's happened here. There are people who've left here, left the show because I simply said something that they took as anti-Semitic. Yeah? Yeah? Where the hell did they learn that? That would be anti-Semitic to just have a different opinion on what that said. Hey, by the way, Spencer, go back to all those Bible verses. Go back to all that first one we had up there, all those Bible verses. Huh? You know what I'm talking about. Give a list of all of them. There we go. Huh? Somebody help me out here. Would those all be opinions? Would those all be opinions of an original verse? Huh? Would those all be an interpretation of original verse? Yeah. And some of these things, taken out of context, contradict each. Okay, I'm getting bogged down. Okay. So here's what's going on. Here's where I'm trying to get. The JFK, pull up number 8. The JFK file is going to be released today. So they tell us. Trump to release 80,000 pages of JFK files on Tuesday. Now look, I'm 72. In 1963, when Kennedy was killed, I was about 3 days from my 12th birthday. This generation shall not pass away to all these things, right? And so November 22nd, 1963, lived in a time post-assassination. I lived pre-assassination. So I lived pre-assassination. I remember they shot him and then went post-assassination and they've hidden 80,000 pages of JFK files. Time out a minute. Why would they hide those files? I'm asking this. Maybe somebody can tell me here. Why would they hide these files?
The killers are still alive.
Killers are still alive? Come on, somebody else. Why would they hide these files from us?
Because they're guilty. Being part of it.
Government may have been part of it. Some of the heroes that we've always had and always honored, like I think we're going to find out that probably Lyndon Baines Johnson was probably behind the whole thing. So they're hiding it. Why? Because there's some stuff they don't want exposed. 80,000 pages. This is just the beginning. And what are they hoping? However many years later, what are they hoping? That most of us who were alive at this day forget it. And so they're propagandizing the next group of people.
The generation shall pass.
Each generation, dude. Each generation. That was Psalm 78, which we read yesterday, right? We have to pass it to our children, who will pass it to their children, on and on and on. Otherwise, each generation writes its own history. Do you think they're going to release all this? You think they are? What if we find out, friends, that at the heart of this assassination was, in fact, the CIA? What if President George H.W. Bush was really complicit with the killing of John F. Kennedy as a young CIA agent. What? What if we find out that Lyndon Baines Johnson really was part of it? What if we find out that the Warren Report, led by future President Gerald Ford, did Gerald Ford get to become president because he did a great job of propagandizing and covering up what really happened? Is that how he became important enough to get to? Was that the trade-off? Hey, you write the Warren Report and we'll make you president. Anybody remember it other than me? Gerald Ford, Spiro Agnew, they booted Spiro Agnew out because he tax problems or whatever. They inserted, my brain goes dead. They inserted Gerald Ford as vice president. He was never elected vice president. And then what happened? Why, Richard Nixon became a crook and Gerald Ford became president. The only man never elected either president or vice president to ever hold that office. And how did he get there? Why, he was head of the Warren Commission. Is that going to come out? I don't know. But shouldn't we know it? Shouldn't we know it? Now, Gene, I'm looking at you right now because I see your face there. Hey, Gene, do you think your kids and grandkids, grandkids, do you think they have any idea of the truth about the JFK assassination? They have no understanding of it. So that's why they want to hold it for 80 years so that everybody who knew what was going on is gone. They're gone. All those lies and the single bullet theory and...
Why do you need 80,000 pages?
Why do you need to hide it?
And 80,000 pages? You're going to forget. When you get to the last page, you're going to forget what the first page said.
That's right, Gene. Hey, Gene, do you really suppose Jack Ruby just snuck in there with a gun? They didn't. Anybody out there think Jack Ruby just snuck down into that garage? Nobody frisking? Nobody? He just was really good and he snuck down in there. Well, all that stuff's going to come out. Okay? What about 911? Should all this stuff come out? Because look, I'm going to show you something right here. Boy, this is a great show today. I'm telling you. Pull up for me. Are you ready for this, folks? Are you ready for this? Just since April 20th, I'm sorry, just since April 2020 on COVID, pull up number 7. Look at this, folks. Top 10. Now look. What's the date on this, Spencer? Go back up the top. I want people to see the date of it. April 20th, 2020. This was mainstream propaganda. Now, friends, look at me. This isn't something that was written yesterday about 2020. This was something written 2020. Okay? Here is what they're saying are now the conspiracy theories regarding COVID. Are you ready for them? Now ask yourself, as we go down through these, are these true? First thing, those people who are blaming 5G for COVID, are we finding out that's true? Aren't we finding out there's some type of truth to the fact that 5G is making us sick? Go to the next one. These were conspiracy, folks, 2020, they were feeding us this crap. Bill Gates is a scapegoat. This was a conspiracy theory 5 years ago. Well, we're going to find out Bill Gates more than a scapegoat. Go to the next one. You understand this article is defending these bastards. You understand? Calling us all liars. The virus escaped from a Chinese lab. That was a conspiracy theory back in 2020. That was a conspiracy. Is that true today, Gino? Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Go to the next one. COVID was created as a biological. Hey, by the way, that's just a conspiracy theory. This is an article in 2020 from the conspiracy theories that they told us were going out there that weren't true. Do we know COVID was created as a biological weapon? Yeah. The U.S. military imported COVID into China. True or false? True or false? This was a conspiracy theory in 2020. True or false? True. Next one. GMOs are somehow to blame. Oh, yeah. Well, they are somehow to blame. By the way, hang on. Remember, true history dies with those who lived it. I'm going to say that again because you didn't get it. Real true history dies with those who lived it. And the people in control and power, they determine history. Okay, come on. Let's be honest here, right? Wouldn't you like to sit down with Chief Wapam Putin or something, some big old Indian chief, and let him give us his perspective on what the white man did to them? Wouldn't you like to hear from his perspective? We don't get to hear his perspective, do we? No. We were just wonderful white guys coming over, just doing the best thing we could ever do. Why? Because the victors write the history. Go ahead, next one. This is amazing, folks. You were a conspiracy theorist if you said that COVID-19 doesn't actually exist. Go to the next one. You're a conspiracy theorist in 2020 if the pandemic is being manipulated by the deep state. You're a conspiracy theorist. You were a conspiracy theorist if COVID is a plot by Big Pharma. Oh, yeah, you're a conspiracy theorist. This is from 2020. You're a conspiracy theorist if you said COVID death rates are inflated. And then they want to tell you how to recognize and debunk conspiracy theories. Oh, so they give you a book on proving how all these things aren't true. And now we know they are all true. Amazing how that works, isn't it? Amazing how that works. So I want to go here real quickly, and then I'm going to open it up. Go to number five. Go to number five. This is so critical you get this, friends. Difference between a Bible translation and a Bible interpretation. Let me stop right there. Vinny, I trust you as being smart. Vinny, if you spoke Pig Latin and I spoke English and you interpreted it for me, what's an interpretation, Vinny?
A translation.
No, they're not the same. Now listen, Fins. Listen. Right. A translation is a word by word by word. They match up. Every word I say matches up according to what I said. Hang on. An interpretation. You ever seen an interpreter? And from somebody gets in front of you and they do an interpretation. Some guy speaking Chinese, yang 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 yang, and I don't know what it is. And then the interpreter,
he does shorthand
what he says.
Right.
In other words, does the interpreter give me a word by word explanation of every word, just like the guy said it?
Or does he give an opinion.
He right. gives you an opinion. He makes it more clarifying. Basically, though, he's filtering it through what he believes. So he's giving you an interpretation of it. If I were to say it, here's how I would say what he's saying. That's what an interpretation was. A translation is a word by word by word, exact word meaning for everyone. So ask yourself, is the Bible, are they Bible interpretations or translations? Because they call them Bible translations, but they ain't translations. Interpretations. It's what the writer believed it said. Is anybody with me here? You understand what is going on?
Boom.
And so not only do we have 400 different interpretations handed down over thousands and thousands of years, just an eyewitness account. Does anybody out there remember when they accused Donald Trump? I said this before. Of Nazis being good people. Now, he said that out of context. Out of context. I'm going to open it up here. I got to hit you in the mouth one more time, okay? Let me hit you in the mouth one more time. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. One of the Ten Commandments. They said, Jesus, which one's the most important one? Anybody know what he said?
God. Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.
And the second is like the first.
But it's not the first.
No, it's not. But it's like it. And that is that you would love your neighbor as yourself. So he took it from a list to a heart. The Ten Commandments are a heart issue. Folks, you can follow the Ten Commandments all the way to heaven. And that ain't what's going to get you in heaven. What's going to get you in heaven is have you received. You all agree with that, right? So therefore, we get caught into the, do we follow? I'm not trying to start a fight. I'm trying to get you to think. Are we required to keep holy the Sabbath? Time out. What is the Sabbath? And is it a salvation issue? If I don't keep the Sabbath, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. If I don't do that, am I going to hell? Even though I love Christ, I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior, washed by his blood, but I don't keep the Sabbath? Or how about this? I don't honor my father and mother. So folks, it's important for us to understand that the Bible tells us that the spirit of the law brings life. The letter of the law brings death. And part of the thing that's killing modern American, Christianity, is the lost world sees the letter of the law and not the spirit of it. That's the way I see it. So we're in a mess today because we're trusting what we're reading to people supposedly who were there and kept history for us. So they can make the movie JFK. You can go read all you want to about JFK. How about some people who lived at that time? How about some information from eyewitnesses? They don't want that, do they? So it's going to be exciting to see whether or not they tell us the truth. I don't know. Okay, I've rambled on, but I hope I've made a good context that you understand exactly what I'm saying. So when the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. You're lying. You're lying because you have an interpretation of it or you have a translation of it. You have part of it. Wow. Dale, come on in.
Yeah, I got a lot to say on this stuff, Coach. This is so good. Yeah, my goodness, right? These we called them opinions, right? Because that's what it is, an opinion of, and opinions like an armpit. Everybody's got a couple of them, and most of them stink. All right, so in your context, Coach, knowing this passage of Scripture, Jesus is talking to, it says, the scribes and the Pharisees. The scribes were the attorneys of the day. They knew the letter of the law to the dot and tittle. So when he was quoting what he was saying, he knew that they knew the whole context of what he was saying.
He spoke to them in their language, didn't he?
Not only that, Coach, he knew when he says, look, I don't got to quote the whole thing for you. When I say this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And when he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, he knew that they knew he was talking Leviticus chapter 19, 15 through 18.
Have you not heard, he said. Have you not heard? Have you not understood? Right? Yeah, right?
There it is. Watch this. This is Jesus. This is the whole context, not the pretext. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall do no unrighteous in what? Oh, judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, the honor of the person of the mighty, but in righteousness you shall what? Judge thy neighbor.
Thou shalt go up, right?
And down as a tabernacle bearer among the people, neither shall you stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise, what? Rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge him or bear grudge against their children of the people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That whole context makes a whole different opinion of what thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
There you go. It's living out. It's living it out. Because why? The letter of the law brings death. The spirit of the law brings life. Right? Now, I'm not against following the rules and regulations. Should you keep the Sabbath? Should you keep a Saturday Sabbath? Well, I think that's probably an issue for your own heart. Do you think you're not going to enter into the kingdom if you celebrate it on Sunday? Catholics told me I couldn't eat meat on Friday. Did that keep me out of the kingdom? Bible says, call no man father. But Catholicism taught me to call them father. What is in here, right? So understand, right? Context, pretext, all of that stuff is so important when we read the scriptures.
And coach, if I may add to this.
Sure.
Not only do we take that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself out of context, we take the second commandment and make it greater than the first commandment.
Well, what's the second commandment?
Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But the first one, it sits by itself. And what we have done, we want to put the love thy neighbor be above honoring God. That's what we do.
That's right.
Don't you judge me.
Yep, that's right. Spencer, pull up for me number 6. I'm telling you, honest truth. If I wasn't doing this show, I'd be watching it. Propaganda. Propaganda is a systemic dissemination of information, often biased or misleading, to influence public opinion and promote a particular agenda or viewpoint. Now, I'm going to shock all of you. Do what you want to. Pastors stand in the pulpit and tell you to tithe. Tithe. And they take you to Malachi. Bring all the tithes in the storehouse that there will be meat in my house. See, that makes tithing legalistic. The Bible says, give. And it shall be given unto you, heaped up, pressed down, running over, shall men give into the bosom. So the whole idea is not tithing, but giving out of a willing heart. It's a spiritual thing. Spiritual. Spiritual. So here's a more detailed explanation. Propaganda involves a deliberate and often manipulative spread of information. The purpose of it, goal of propaganda is to sway public opinion. What do they call a guy like me and a guy like you? Conspiracy theorists. Why? Because we don't line up with the establishment version. Why won't they release the Kennedy files? Because it doesn't line up with what they've taught us. Why won't they give us the truth about 9-1-1? Because it doesn't line up with what they taught us. Why don't they give us the truth about going to the moon? Because it doesn't line up with what they taught us. And if we would look back, then if they do all that and they reveal all that, then what's going to be the end result? People are going to say, dang, the government keeps lying to us.
Boom.
And then we'll say, wow, I wonder if they still are. I wonder if the government's lying to me about COVID. Oh, where is that one? Where? Hey, Spencer, I sent you another standalone one. Are you ready for this one, folks? Pull up the vaccine psyop real quick. Pull that one up. I think that's the one I want. You ready? Here we go. What's the date on this? 2021. Go ahead.
Was 94.5% effective.
The so-called 95% efficiency rate touted by the pharmaceutical companies was misleading, to say the least. A peer-reviewed study by The Lancet confirms the vaccine efficiency of 95% reported by the vaccine manufacturers was referring to relative risk reduction rather than absolute risk reduction, as would be standard. Your actual risk of reduction of getting COVID after the vaccine has then been reduced by 1.2% with Moderna, 1.2% with Johnson & Johnson, and by
folks, do you understand this? They told us it was going to be 94% effective, but the real effectiveness was about 1%. The vaccines helped about 1 out of 100 people. Go ahead.
Less than 1% with Pfizer, meaning after you receive the vaccine, on average, you are 99% just as likely to get COVID. This raises 3 questions. By getting a vaccine, how would you be helping other people? If you have natural immunity, as 50% of the population likely does, why would you still be required to get the vaccine? And if the vaccine doesn't stop the spread, why would you need a vaccine passport? Once you've applied a moment of critical thinking, you'll find anyone advocating these requests is either uninformed, irrational, or has an ulterior motive for suggesting everyone should be vaccinated. Let's summarize this by crunching a few official numbers. The Pfizer NNV is 117, meaning 117 people need to be vaccinated to prevent one COVID case. That's to prevent a COVID case.
Hang on. You understand that, folks? For every 117 people vaccinated, only one was effective. Keep going.
Death. Since the median survival rate of the virus itself is 99.86, that means
999
out of 1,000 cases survive. So you would need to prevent 1,000 cases to prevent one death. That means you would need to vaccinate 117,000 people to save one life. By the first half of 2021, about 134 million people in America have been fully vaccinated. So far, 10,355 people have died in the first 6 months of 2021 in the U.S. alone. That means 56 people a day are dying immediately after receiving the vaccine. Due to underreporting, that actual number of deaths is likely significantly higher, and officials and CDC whistleblowers estimate it to be at 51,800. But we'll continue with the officially released
numbers. Vaccine.
134 million people vaccinated divided by 10,355 official deaths from the vaccine results in 12,940. This means COVID vaccines kill, at a minimum, one out of every 12,940 people that are vaccinated.
Unbelievable.
So if you vaccinate 117,000 people to save one life, 9.04 people would die from the vaccine. When you average all the age groups, you find that you are 904% more likely to die from the COVID vaccine than for it to save your life. That's bad enough with the official deflated numbers. With a more likely estimate of 51,800 deaths, that means you are 4,520% more likely to die from a COVID vaccine than to be saved by one. And the likelihood of developing a lifelong debilitating disease is even greater.
I will share.
Unbelievable. Vaccine. What do you think of that, Dr. Paul? What do you think of that, Dr. Paul? What a lie, huh? What a lie they've been telling us. Why? Propaganda. Why? They have an agenda. They have an agenda for why they're doing what they're doing. I've done a lot of talking. Somebody, I got more. You want more? Somebody, come on in. I got more. All right. I'll play another one. Then you won't get your hand up. Pull this one up. Pull up Linda. Go to, says Lindy Lee politicians. Lindy Lee, a politician. No. Yeah, go to that one, Spencer, and then pull up politicians are actors. Pull that up. You ready? Here we go.
You know, I was reminded of the assassination of Lincoln. And he was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth. Do you know what John Wilkes Booth's job was before he became a presidential assassin? He worked in the theater. He was an actor. He was literally an actor. So nothing's changed. The Democrats are actors. They're basically theater kids pretending to care about stuff. The anti-Tesla stuff is clearly just actors, paid actors. And if you don't understand that, then everything's confusing. Likewise, the leadership in the Democrat world, they seem to me just like actors. When you watch the fact that they talk about how the messaging is the only thing they got wrong, not the policies, when clearly the policies were unpopular. I mean, just clearly, every poll showed that their policies were unpopular. Trump's policies were popular. And still, they maintain, because they're actors, they're theater kids, they still maintain it's just the way they did it. So the response was to create cringe videos, acting, to do a bunch of similar-looking little douchebag videos where they hold tiny microphones for no reason, acting. It's all acting. And I really don't think this is happening on the other side. I do not believe that the Republicans are mostly acting. I think the Republicans have real opinions. And they're consistent with what their opinions have been forever. Whereas the Democrats are saying stuff like, oh, maybe we should just change all of our opinions so we can get back in power. What? What? If all of that stuff you were talking about a year ago was ever important, wouldn't it still be important, at least to you? Nope. We'll drop it like a hot rock, and we'll just pretend something else is important. Oh, Elon Musk is a danger to the world. That's what we'll pretend today. But it's all pretend.
It's all pretend and all acting. Is that ever the truth? Huh? Can you believe how quickly they're running away from what were their core values they thought would get them elected? Promoting stuff they didn't even believe in. They were just acting so they could get elected. Rochelle. Oh, no. Did you drop there, Rochelle? Come on back in. Okay, pull up Lindy Lee then. That same one. Lindy Lee. Aren't you glad you come here every morning? You know who she is, right? She is a billion-dollar donor to the Democrats. Lindy Lee. Billion-dollar donor. What's this?
And so how many people inside the Democratic Party put the party over the country?
99.99%.
So pretty much all of them.
Everybody. I mean, they see I am the guinea pig.
Why is the party more important than the country?
Because it's a religion for them. Yeah. They don't have a religion, so it's become their religion. Wow, that's the first time I think that's really it. It's their entire lives. Sean, I'm telling you, I lost all my friends. I have nobody left other than my, you know, actual friends. They've all left me. I used to get texts from senators, members of Congress on a daily basis, or even especially on holidays. I would get gifts in the mail. I got nothing this year. I got banned by the White House holiday party. I used to go to the VIP Naval Observatory party. I got banned by all of that. I got banned from calls. And what did I do? Like, I was treated worse than a low-life criminal. And I'm someone who's never, I don't even drink alcohol. Like, I've never done anything. I live the most straight-edge life. And they treat me like I'm some, like, crack dealer.
Okay, you get it, folks? You get it? Because they're all actors. They're all, don't you hate phony people? Rochelle, let's try you again.
Hey.
There you are.
Okay. I wanted to, this is why I wanted to come in. If when you were talking about the way the Bible can be misconstrued and taken out of context, mm-hmm. And you use the Ten Commandments as an example, you know, a little bit, I just wanted to say that he gave us those all 10 basically in one sentence, because the first four commandments deal with how you're supposed to treat God, how you're supposed to honor your creator. And then the next six tell you how you're supposed to treat your fellow man. So he condenses it all into one, and he's not micromanaging you. And the thing is, the reason the devil has worked his way into using this method of different translations is because the Bible is truth. As a matter of fact, if you come across a contradiction, that's the most interesting part. And this is the only book, I promise you, that tells you where you came from, what you live on, where you're going, and how to get there.
Amen.
So you have to take it seriously, because if you don't, you're going to believe the poisons, the lies, and then you're going to end up taking the poison, like you showed on that video about the vaccine. So I just didn't want anybody to doubt their Bible, even whatever version yes. you've got. Well, you just have to understand to follow the spirit of these laws, not the black and white. All right. Thank you, Coach. You're doing great. Love you all.
Hey, Rochelle, by the way, are they teaching this in our schools? Are they teaching the Ten Commandments in our schools on how people can just really get along with one another and serve God? Are they doing that? No. No, I don't think they are, they?
Yeah. You know, Coach, I went to school to be, I went to college to be a teacher. And boy, I guess there was a reason I didn't pursue that. As soon as I got into a classroom, I could tell. I got in trouble for bandaging up a child and sending him on his way instead of doing a big back rigmarole. And they will find any reason to kick out the good people.
They will. Huh?
Yeah.
They call them lawyers, by the way. Hey, Vinny, thank you. Hey, Spence, play, it says Claudine. It says Claudine. I sent that to you. play that one for us here. Thank, by the way, hey folks, by the way, thanks for sending me stuff. A lot of the stuff I show here, somebody else sent it to me. I said, Coach, did you see this? Did you see this? Did you not get that, Spence? Why do I not send everything to you? Coming to you. Hang on. Golly, Coach, get wake up here. Coming to you now. Coming to you now, Spencer. Play this. So, look, a lot of times you guys send me stuff. Sometimes I use it, sometimes I don't, depending on where I feel the show's going, okay? That's all. Not the, if you sent me something, I didn't play it. It wasn't because it wasn't good. It just didn't necessarily fit in with where we were. Did you get that, Spence? All right, here we go. Oh, okay, that's what it is. Well, I already showed it. Don't have to show it, Spencer. Don't have to show it. Thanks. All right, cool. Come on in. We got 5 minutes. Let me hear from you. I've rattled on here. I've rattled on quite a while. Let me see here. Coach, you're not doing very good here. Silence isn't golden. Somebody speak up.
It'll be interesting to see what they release today, Coach.
With the Kennedy assassination. Hey, yep. Vinny, what are we going to do? What's going to be the reaction of America if they really release the truth and we really find out that our government murdered our president? Not only did our government murder our president, the vice president was involved with it. And then the Warren Commission lied to us. Now, you can't go back and arrest those people. That's important that we know, isn't it? It's important that we know what happened. So if they lied to us about John F. Kennedy's assassination, what else did they lie to us about? Trent.
Yeah, Coach, we act like we're so dang stupid. I mean, that's exactly what we act like. Oh,
here's the truth. Hey, Trent, here's the truth. If the Warren report was the truth, we'd already have all the information. They would already released it. They're clearly hiding something. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, Coach, that too. We got to know what he was fighting. We got to know all this stuff. What's the context of Kennedy? What was he doing during this time? Who was he up against, you know? Who were all these people up against? Who was Malcolm X up against? Who was Martin Luther King up against? What were they about to expose? Well, they were probably insiders. They were exposing Islam during that time. You know, that's what Malcolm X was doing in all this. You know, they tear down our leaders is what they do, or groups of leaders. But yeah, we're so dang dumb, Coach. Or we act dumb because we like to be in this comfortable chair, you know. It's like, judge not. We know what that means. You don't base a judgment off of just the looks of a person. You know, that it's hard not to, but that's basically all it's telling you to do.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to tell everybody, and then I'll make all the enemies all right here at once. My prediction: when they uncover the JFK assassination, can I say it? You guys want me to say it? They're going to find the Mossad.
Boom.
And when they uncover 9-1-1, they're going to find the Mossad.
Mossad.
Folks, when they uncover a lot of this stuff,
Epstein,
you're going to find the Mossad. We don't want to believe that, but from my perspective, why else would they not be permitting it to be released? Michelle, wrap us up.
Yeah, South Alabama had said that they tear down our leaders. They take down our leaders. I would counter that and say that they not only do they tear them down, they set them up. They give us our leaders. It's been explained how when they need a hero, we will provide them with one. So all through our history, they set these people up to be the histories, and then they take them down. And who is they? Who is they? Well, in my humble opinion, they are the Zionists who say they are Jews and are not.
That's what I'm saying with the Mossad. That's what I'm saying, Michelle.
Yes.
We'll find out. I could be wrong. Now, see, a lot of you say, oh, that coach is so anti-Semitic. You dummy. You dummy. You dummy. You can't think outside, dare I say it, religious propaganda as well. See you tomorrow.